This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 411. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
It's a lightning round special, plus the May numbers are in. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, July 10th, 2016. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, it's been a while since we did a new episode. Life kind of got in the way, as did the holiday, which leaves us 3 weeks of comics to cover, and you know what that means? The lightning round.
Woo!
Justice League number one by Hitch, Henriquez, Hanna, and Sinclair. Two subplots and yet another number one issue. A Lovecraftian menace taking over Earth, and the new slash real Superman debating on whether to get involved.
Is this like the one where, because they're all blending together now.
Yeah.
Where it was almost like Starro things or?
Kinda. Fortunately, Lois handles the latter because the League really does need his help. The League goes inside a giant creature to take out its brain, and in the end, they injure it enough for it to leave after they warn it to run. Aquaman, in a rare case of actually being useful, reads its mind and learns that more of them are coming. Oh, and the junior GLs join the league.
Yeah, okay.
Superman number 2 by Tomasi, Gleason, Gray, and Kalise. Clark takes John on an assignment in the Arctic where they run into a giant octopus that's guarding a spaceship. Clark decides this is a good time for on-the-job training and runs John through Heat Vision 101. John picked up an S shirt, apparently at Hot Topic.
Oh, come on. No, he said it was from the thrift store.
And tells his dad about the fried cat from the last issue.
Mm-hmm.
Later, the neighbor girl and John sit out on a tree limb. It breaks, and somehow John is hurt. Clark scares off the neighbor, who was just trying to help. Certainly nothing suspicious about your reaction to that, Clark.
Nothing at all.
Clark takes John to the fortress to have him checked out, but an alien from the aforementioned ship gets there first and forms the Eradicator. Really liking the overall story, but not a big fan of retreading old ideas.
To me, it seems like they're trying to shove in all the old ideas they can.
All at once.
And it's like, wait a minute, you could spread these out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Batman number 2 by King, Finch, Banning, Mickey, and Belair. Bruce and the Gotham twins fight Solomon Grundy. Of course, Bruce stops him when these two super beings have no luck at it. But Bruce realizes someone has to be ready when he is eventually killed. Why not them?
And come on, he's already come back from the dead like 4 times. Bruce, nobody needs to replace you.
A mild-mannered guy stops by the Gotham City PD to admit he freed Grundy and then knives himself in the neck as he says, "The Monster Men are coming." Now, Monster Men is one of the oldest Golden Age Batman stories. This is actually back in the days when Batman carried around a gun.
Ooh.
This is how far back this is. Bruce takes the Gotham twins to meet Gordon, who's all sarcastic as usual. Bruce then sneaks out, and Gotham, the hero, can't find him, even with Ultra Vision.
Ooh.
Now, are the Gotham twins time-lost Legion of Superhero members, like he's Ultra Boy or something?
Oh, that would be interesting.
We end with someone named Roger meeting with Hugo Strange and guys from the army. I'm assuming Roger is actually the Psycho Pirate. The dialogue in these issues continues to be fantastic. Especially Gordon is just wonderful. Future Quest number 2 by Parker, Shaner, Randall, Case, and Belair. We begin with a big action sequence featuring the Herculoids, Space Ghost, and the Galaxy Trio.
Now, I assume that the writers believe that anybody who's reading this knows who all these characters are, right?
Exactly.
Because I didn't, actually.
They're all fighting a massive space creature. Gloop, one of the protoplasm Herculoids, is taken over by it. They force the creature to escape via vortex, but not before Space Ghost temporarily drops in to see Johnny and Haji from the last issue and then pops back out.
Mm-hmm.
We learn that Jan and Blip stayed on Earth. Race, Benton, and Birdman protect the kids from Zin's troops, but the bad guys get Space Ghost's ship and Jace, who was invisible because he had his invisible belt turned on, but he was knocked out. We still don't know who the mysterious black kid is, but his mom wants to call in specialists.
I don't think that's his mom.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, I think he's just a kid, and that lady is the dad's friend.
Oh, that might be true.
And then she just called his mom to say, hey, he's here. We're going to keep him here because it's safer.
Oh, and Zin has brought in Jade to assist him. Lots of stuff going on here, but I do think they're making these myriad concepts fit together very well.
Oh, I do too. I'm actually really liking this one as opposed to the Scooby-Doo or whatever the other one was.
We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Dark Knight 3, The Master Race Book 5 by Miller, Azzarello, Kubert, Jansen, and Anderson. Batgirl and Aquaman retrieve Clark from the ocean and break him out of the black matter. Bruce puts the injured Flash on computer duty, then drives out in the Bat Tank for the final battle with the Kryptonian cultists. Oh, and he seeds the clouds with kryptonite rain to make it a more even battle.
Now, does he know that the other people are breaking Clark out? Because won't this affect Clark,
well,
too? Oh, wait, never
well,
mind.
Well, clearly they've worked that out because
yes.
Clark arrives in a lead suit to fight alongside him.
Yeah.
The mini-comic features Laura, who apparently finally figures out the cultists are bad guys. Legend of Wonder Woman number 7 by DeLeese and Dillon. Diana's now a public figure, making her enemy number one to the Ratsies. Etta convinces her to give Steve a chance. They go on a date, quote-unquote, just talking in the hangar.
Mm-hmm.
The Duke of Deception, with horrible timing, calls her mentally, so she runs off, leaving Steve. We see a big fight with the Duke. She has a vision quest after being knocked out and is offered the tools to defeat him if she agrees to be Zeus's champion. She refuses and wakes up in her bed, sans powers. She decides to live her life as a mortal with Steve, at least for now. That certainly won't last.
No, it won't.
Because there's two more issues. Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 10, number 28, from Dark Horse by Gage, Isaac Jackson, Starking, and Betancourt. We're gearing up for the big bad battle, which means the Scooby Gang needs to come together. But the best part of the issue is Xander and Don fighting their way hilariously through dimensions to get back home. Along the way, their companions choose to stay behind, one staying to teach a world about sloth, greed, and lust, and the other staying to repopulate a world without men. So the gang is back together and ready for action.
You know, I really would have liked to have seen more of Xander and Dawn's quest.
I want
home.
A miniseries of that. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Lutona number 5 from Image by Lemire, Lennox, and Belair. Teddy, convinced he has powers after getting Plutona's blood, starts stabbing himself, and it doesn't go well. The other kids run away from him, and he gives chase. He can't let them go, since they now know his secret identity. He's basically gone crazy. Then they run into Plutona, just waking up, and asks, "What happened to my fingers?" Because they cut her fingers to get her blood.
Yeah.
She's like, "What is wrong with you?" She tells them to go home. Teddy collapses and dies. The kids all go home, and that's it.
It really, yeah.
This really skidded to a halt.
It did. It's almost like, oh, Jeff Lemire decides he's not going to write anymore.
I'm going to wrap this up right in a couple pages.
Yeah. I was enjoying this story.
Until then.
Until this issue.
Well, the numbers are in for May. Thanks to ComicsBeat.com, of course, and the Diamond's Top 300. Starting with, in number one position, DC Universe Rebirth at 235,000 copies. No surprise there, because there were a ton of variants and second editions and second printings. It was a huge seller, and rightly so.
So do you think a lot more people bought this, or do you think that people bought multiple copies or a combination?
I think it's a combination.
Okay.
Number four, Batman at 102,000. Now, the Batman for the entire New 52 run was over 100,000 copies, the only title to do that. Number 7, Justice League at 92,000 copies. This is the delayed Darkseid War conclusion, and that's a title that just kind of really lost the schedule over time. Number 11, Scooby Apocalypse at 69,000 copies, the gritty Hanna-Barbera reboot.
Now, I really want to see what issue number 2 does of this,
yes.
Because I did not like this at all.
Well, we didn't read Scooby.
Didn't we?
No.
I thought we did.
We read Wacky Races.
Okay. So Wacky Races is the one I didn't like.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Scooby.
Number 14, Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, 64,000. This actually stayed around 64,000 copies for issues 3 through 6 of the miniseries, so it found its level. So assume there's going to be a second miniseries soon. Number 19, Superman at 54,000. The new 52 Superman bites the dust in this issue. Number 29, Future Quest at 48,000. How did this not beat Scooby?
Yes.
This is just an incredible title, and it only sold 48,000 for its first issue. Number 33, Detective at 43K. Number 34, Harley Quinn at 43K. And number 39, Action Comics at 40,000 copies. And at the other end, number 253, Clean Room at 6,400 copies. I assume this title is ready for the axe. Even for Vertigo, that's low.
It seems to be wrapping up
yeah.
in the most recent issues.
Yeah. Number 208, Omega Men at 8,200 copies. I'm sure DC's really glad they extended this one because
yeah.
they were going to kill it after 7 issues and then people went, no, you need to finish it. Well, the people who all screamed to finish it apparently didn't buy it.
Yeah.
Number 204, Bloodlines. This was the first issue of Bloodlines at 8,900 sales. Hey, let's remake the worst 90s DC crossover. That'll be a huge hit. Number 174, Legends of Tomorrow, at 11,000 copies. This is now officially a retroactive miniseries. It's going to go through issue 6 and then be done.
I'm sad.
Oh, I'm really sad because we won't get any more Sugar and Spike.
Well, maybe.
Two more issues, I believe.
Maybe they'll do something with Sugar and Spike.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, before we get out of here, it's time to play our America's Fastest Growing New Game Show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Now, Mark, I've already given you a hint about this because
yes.
I've told you that it's a multiple cover issue.
Okay.
Okay, so go.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
So it's a movie that has not come out yet?
That's correct.
So it's a summer movie?
Yes.
Is it genre related?
Yes.
Is it supernatural related?
No.
Is it superhero related?
Yes.
Let's see. It's, okay, EW's run by Warner, so it has to be Suicide Squad.
That would be correct. So, would you care to guess who we got on our cover this time?
Well, if it's not Will Smith or Margot Robbie, I'll have no idea.
Well, it is Margot Robbie, and
who
would go with Margot Robbie?
Jared Leto.
Yes.
Aha.
There you go.
There we go.
I'm surprised that we actually got the Harley cover.
Yeah.
We usually don't get the good one.
I'm guessing they printed 90% that.
It is number 1 of 4, so.
And like 3% of the other ones. All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. You can call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.